Backward Bill. Backward Bill. Backward Bill. He lives way up on Backward Hill, which is really a hole in the sandy ground, but that's a hill turned upside down. Backward Bill's got a backward shack with a big front porch that's built out back. You walk through the window and look out the door, and the cellar is up on the very top floor. Backward Bill, he rides like the wind, don't know where he's going, but he sees where he's been. His spurs go neigh, and his horse goes clang, and his gun goes gnab, it never goes bang. Backward Bill's got a backward pup. They eat their supper when the sun comes up, and he's got a wife named Backward Lil. She's my own true hate, says Backward Bill. Backward Bill wears his hat on his toes and puts on his underwear over his clothes, and come every payday he pays his boss and rides off smiling, carrying his hawks. Bill, we're back. He lives on a lil in a shouldn't whack. Bill, we're back. He's really filly, and that's a sack. Backward Bill. Lives way up on Backward Hill. Da boop ba ba doo la doo doo da. Da boop ba doo doo da doo doo da. A boop ba doo da doo 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 doo.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. I'm excited to catch up with Fatia. We had a week off from doing radio together last week. So I'm excited to hear what you've been up to, what you've been reading. So what have you been reading recently?
I have been reading, recently I got some books. I forgot a lot of their names, but I remember, I don't remember the full titles, but, I remember two of them. One was from the series of Babysitter's Club, and the other was from The I Survived. My favorite out of the two of them were probably The I Survived books.
And this was the graphic novel version, right?
Yes.
I remember seeing Fatia's sister, Mashuda, who used to be on Bound by Books, dropping the books off for Fatia at the library. And I was like, oh, I have to remember to talk with Fatia about these books. I've never read the I Survive books, either the books or the graphic novels.
It's actually my first time reading one of them from series. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so my understanding of the series is that each one, and it started as a novel series for middle grade readers, and then they're now making graphic novel adaptations of them, but that each one is set during a different period of time, during a specific event in which there was sort of a catastrophe of some sorts, and the character survives, as I survived, and is telling the story. So what was the one that you dived into?
There's a boy, he's originally from California. His parents moved there, and his uncle was basically babysitting him, and he had no friends. So one time he got some two other boys to hang out with him. They were actually very good friends. They're in the book, when you towards the end. It's basically telling you that the friends are very bad friends. But then at the end of the book, his friends actually saved his life.
And what was the thing that he survived?
He almost got bitten by a shark. Half of his leg was eaten.
Ooh, that's scary. Does it make you want to go swimming in the ocean after reading that?
I never really swim in the ocean, but because it's risky and it's very deep.
I haven't gone swimming in the ocean in a long time.
It's scary.
Yeah, the ocean is intense. The waves can be pretty strong. That's also fun if you're able to do it safely. I did that a lot as a kid. Maybe not a lot, but once a summer at least. It was fun.
Yes. I like to swim at very short pools, but like 2 feet, 3 feet, because if it's like above like 8 feet, that's the more chances you can drown.
Yeah, so you like being able to touch the bottom. Safety first. So, do you think you're going to read more from the I Survived series?
Definitely.
And how about the Babysitter Club?
I read a lot of the, like, I think I read 4 or 5 of the books. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know, I want to do the one where one of the girls, like, they leave to New York from Connecticut. I don't read those series.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Babysitter Club novels were really big when I was a kid, but I never read them for whatever reason. But I was aware of them. I think as a person that did a lot of babysitting, I was confused on how a club would be helpful, because it seemed like you just have like all this competition for all the babysitting gigs. Oh, but maybe that's the difference between living in a small town and a bigger town. There's more need for babysitters in a bigger town. But those are both very popular series here at the library. Both the novels and the graphic novels. So I think with Babysitter Club, because it's an older series, the novels, I think the graphic novels far outweigh the popularity. Whereas I think I Survived, it's pretty even in popularity between the novels and the graphic novels. But anyways, was there anything else you wanted to talk about today?
I have a poem that
oh, great.
I want to share. It's cool. Called Vision. I came to the mountains for beauty, and I found here the toiling folk. Aunts brace little farms in the valleys, wearing their days like a joke, like a yoke. White clouds fill the valleys at morning. They are round as great billows at sea, and ram themselves up to the hilltops. Still round as great billows can be, the mists fill the valleys at evening. They are blue as the smoke in the fall, and spread all the hills with a tenuous scarf that touches the hills not at all. These lone folk have looked on them daily, yet I see in their faces no light. Oh, how can I show them the mountains that are round them by day and night?
Nice. What inspired you to pick that poem?
It's like two reasons. It's about nature, and the second one is that this poem is, I don't know how to describe it, but like, it's like, they talk about valleys, they talk about seas, fall, and mountains. Those are like my 4 things I love in nature.
Hmm. What were the 4 things?
The 4 thing, seas, mountains.
Mountains,
seas, valleys, mountains, and fall.
And fall. Hmm. Yeah. I love a good nature poem as well. Thanks for sharing that. So over the past week, I've just been reading adult novels or nonfiction, actually. Actually, both of the books I'm reading are nonfiction. And then I've read some picture books too, to be honest. But I haven't read anything that's really for the age group that we do the show for. So I thought instead of talking about an adult book or a picture book, I could share some descriptions of books that have come out this month that I'm excited to read, haven't gotten to read yet. So the first one I will highlight is The Beautiful Game by Yamil Sayed Mendez, who is the award-winning author of Buria, which was a book that I know our friend Georgia, who used to be on Bound by Books, read and loved. But this one, Buria, was a young adult novel, and this one is geared towards middle grade readers, grades 4 to 6, age 9 to 11. Here's the description. A powerful story about family, football, and playing like a girl, perfect for fans of Front Desk, The Academy, and Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. from the award-winning author of Furia. At 13 years old, Valeria Magic Thalamon is already the best soccer player her town has ever seen. She has talent in spades, and an abuelo whose tough love coaching and lessons about strength and honor have made her the star of the Overlords, the top boys team in the state. But everything changes at the State Cup semifinal when Valeria gets her first period while wearing white shorts. After her team is unexpectedly eliminated, she goes from their secret weapon to their scapegoat. Soon, she doesn't have a team at all anymore. She's not sure she has a relationship with her grandfather either. Valeria is a fighter, however, and with the help of her grandmother and support of her cheerleader BFF, she finds herself on a girls' team for the first time. But the Amazons aren't exactly excited to have her there. After all, Valeria spent years ignoring their existence. With the next tournament looming on the horizon, Valeria has a month to figure out her place on her new team and learn how to play like a girl. The award-winning author of Furia returns to the world of The Beautiful Game in this uplifting, heartfelt novel about family, self-confidence, and the power of second chances. I thought that sounds like a great book. I don't often read sports books, but I thought this one sounded really interesting. I like the idea of shifting from a boys' team to a girls' team and the different challenges within that. And I love soccer, so, or football. So at least it's a sport that I'm interested in too. And I think a lot of people are as well. So this might be a fun read for people who are interested in soccer and women's sports. So that is The Beautiful Game by Yamil Said Mendes. And it came out earlier this month, so it should be available to borrow from your local library or find at your favorite bookstore. And next up, one that just came out this week is the second book in a trilogy by Kwame Alexander called The Door of No Return Trilogy. And this one is called Black Star. The first book was called The Door of No Return. And I haven't read The Door of No Return yet, but it was very well reviewed. People seemed to really love it. It sounded really great. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But because this book is set in the future from that one, I think it will likely work as a standalone so that people that haven't read the first one should be able to read this one. And interestingly enough, this is also a book that involves sports. So after I just said I don't really read sports books, I'm sharing another book that centers on sports. So here's the description for that. You can't protect her from knowing. The truth is all we have. 12-year-old Charlie Cuffey is many things, a granddaughter, a best friend, and probably the best pitcher in all of Lee's Mill. Set on becoming the first female pitcher to play professional ball, Charlie doesn't need reminders from her best friend, Cool Willie Green, to know that she has lofty dreams for a Black girl in the American South. Even so, Nana Coffey's thrilling stories about courageous ancestors and epic journeys make it impossible not to dream big. She knows she has so many more to tell, but according to her parents, she isn't old enough to know about certain things, like what happened to Booker Preston that one night in Great Bridge, and why she can never play on the brand new real deal baseball field on the other side of town. When Charlie challenges a neighborhood bully to a game at the church picnic, she knows she can win, even with her ragtag team. But when the picnic spills over into their ball field, she makes a fateful decision. A child cannot protect herself if she does not know her history, and Charlie's choice brings consequences she never could have imagined. In this thrilling second book of the Door of No Return trilogy, set during the turbulent segregation era and the beginning of the Great Migration, Kwame Alexander weaves a spellbinding story of struggle, determination, and the unflappable faith of an American family. I think that sounds really great. And like with the other book, I feel like it's centered on sports in a way, but it also seems to deal with a lot of other societal issues and the history of our country. And so in this one, a character from the first book, Kofi, The main character in this book is the granddaughter of Kofi. So I'm curious with the third book, what time period it'll be. Will it be like a great grandkid of the original character? I assume it's going to go forward in time, but I don't know. I'm curious to see that. I think that's an interesting trilogy to have different time periods and different main characters, but that have a connection. So again, that is Black Star by Kwame Alexander. And that one just came out this week. So again, you should be able to find that at your local library, local bookstore. Check it out. And I'll highlight a couple more. So one that I'm really excited to read that came out a bit earlier this month is Kareem Between by Shifa Seltagi Safadi. And this is a novel in verse, also a middle grade novel, as was Black Star. And this book was recently longlisted for the National Book Award for Young People's Literature. So it has some serious acclaim there. But yeah, I'll read the description for this one. Seventh grade begins and Kareem's already fumbled it. His best friend moved away. He messed up his tryout for the football team. And because of his heritage, he was voluntold to show the new kid, a Syrian refugee with a thick and embarrassing accent, around school. Just when Kareem thinks his middle school life has imploded, the hotshot quarterback promises to get Kareem another tryout for the squad. There's a catch. To secure that chance, Kareem must do something he knows is wrong. Then, like a surprise blitz, Kareem's mom returns to Syria to help her family, but can't make it back home. If Kareem could throw a penalty flag on the fouls of his school and home life, it would be unnecessary roughness. Kareem is stuck between countries, between friends, between football, between parents, and between right and wrong. It's up to him to step up, find his confidence, and navigate the beauty and hope found somewhere in the middle. So I think that sounds really great. And interestingly, sports is involved again. What is happening? But I thought this sounded really great. I love a novel in verse, and it seems like it again tackles some serious issues, and I'm curious to check it out. So again, that is Kareem Between by Shifa Seltagi Safadi, and that is out now. So you can check that one out as well. And lastly, a book that I'm pretty confident doesn't involve sports. There's the new book by Cynthia Leitich Smith called On a Wing and a Tear. And again, this is a middle grade novel. And I will read the description. A living legend roosting in the backyard, an unmissable game, a hair-raising mystery. Oh, actually, this does involve sports. I forgot. All the books involve sports. Go sports. Go team. Okay. So a living legend roosting in the backyard, an unmissable game, a hair-raising mystery, a road trip full of adventure and danger. Melanie Mel Roberts and Ray Halfmoon may be from different indigenous nations, but the friends have become like siblings since the Robertses moved in with the Halfmoons, and they soon welcome a distinguished guest. Great-grandfather Bat, whose wing is injured, has taken refuge in their old oak tree. A rematch of the legendary Great Ball Game is coming up, with Bat as the star player. Grandpa Charlie Half Moon offers to drive Bat from Chicago down to the traditional playing field outside Macon, Georgia, and Mel and Ray are determined to help out. Together, they all set off on a road trip, facing adventure, danger, and a hair-raising mystery on the way to the historic game. With loving care and boisterous humor, acclaimed author Cynthia Leitich-Smith Muskogee tells a modern folklore story about friendship, embracing the unexpected, and all the overlapping circles that connect us throughout creation. Perfect for fans of Kate DiCamillo, Brian Young, and Alana K. Arnold. So it does involve sports. On a Wing and a Tear by Cynthia Leitich Smith. And I'm trying to remember the story of the Great Ball Game. I read a picture book by Joseph Brustack, illustrated by Susan L. Roth, many years ago, that was about this Great Ball Game. And the idea is there's the winged animals versus the like land animals, or maybe it's wings and teeth. Can't remember, but Bat has both of them. And so Bat ends up having like a very important role in this game between the birds and the animals. They're trying to decide which team is better. And I think they're playing, oh yeah, it's stickball, which is kind of like lacrosse. But I actually read a picture book this past week that's also about stickball, interestingly. But instead of like in lacrosse, you know how you have one stick and you kind of like catch the ball and fling it. In stickball, you have two sticks and you catch the ball between the sticks through. So it's similar shaped sticks to lacrosse, but slightly different. And yeah, you just kind of trap the ball between the sticks. But it's a little more, I mean, the sport itself is more complicated than that. But I really liked the folktale version by Joseph Ruchak that I read a long time ago. So I'm curious to check this one out. And I totally forgot that it was about stickball. In part, although it seems like a couple of these are less related to the sports than at least the last two books where sports are a part of the story, but maybe not as much of a focus as the first two. But who knew when I picked out these books to share today that they'd all be sports related. I guess I do want to read sports books because I want to read all four of them. Do you ever read books centered around sports, Fatia?
I don't think I ever had. Maybe one time about track, but I don't remember the book title.
Yeah.
Time ago.
Yeah, maybe it was Ghost by Jason Reynolds that you read. He came to the book festival 1 year, and he has a series that each one is the name of a character. So you may have read something from that. There's like Ghost and Lou and Patina, I think, is one of the characters' names. But yeah, those books are all about track athletes. And then Kwame Alexander, who wrote Black Star, which I mentioned earlier, he also has a series of sports novels and verse. So he has The Crossover, and I forget what the other one is called. That's one of his big books. Oh, Booked. Booked is the soccer one. So Crossover is about basketball. Booked is about soccer. And I just read Crossover. That was the first of those sports novels and verse. I really liked it. So when I say I'm not that into sports books, not that I'm never into sports books. Some of them are quite good. Just have to find the right fit. Anyways, before we go for the day, was there anything else you'd like to share? Anything you're excited for this fall? I know it's one of your favorite seasons, if not your favorite season.
It's my second favorite, actually.
You like spring?
Yes.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular you're excited for this fall?
My birthday.
Oh, yay. Forgot you have a fall birthday. It's fun to celebrate. I'm excited. We have a big event every October right before Halloween. It's the Sunday right before Halloween. We have the Ghostly Gallop. It's a 5K race and kids fun run. And starting to get people signed up for that. It's a really fun day. A lot of people run in costume, and it's a real family event. There's everyone from like babies through seniors, and some people run with their dogs. There's kids in strollers running with their parents. Yeah, it's really a fun event. We hope people will check that out. You can find out more information at hudsonarealibrary.org/ghostly-gallop. Or you can just go to hudsonarealibrary.org and you will easily find Ghostly Gallop in our little navigation menu. But that's going to be on Sunday, October 27th. And it starts off in the morning. So it's before the Hudson Halloween events, which are also very fun for all the kids out there who like to go trick-or-treating on Warren. So you can make a whole day of it. Get dressed up for Halloween, go for a run, then go get some candy to feed the hunger that you build up in your run. But yeah, we hope to see everyone here at the library sometime this fall. You can check out some books, maybe some of the ones we mentioned on the show today. But we're going to say goodbye for now. We hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then,
happy reading.
On the ground, the sky above.